Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Since last year, the whistleblowing website WikiLeaks has been releasing thousands of diplomatic cables in conjunction with news organizations like the British newspaper The Guardian, with names of vulnerable people, like informants, redacted. But this summer, WikiLeaks published cables that included those names, starting a new argument about the ethics of keeping and releasing secrets and the ethics of publishing a secret encryption code, which WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says The Guardian did in this latest document dump. To which we're wondering if our next guest will say, does it matter? Don't we live in a world without secrets anyway? Princeton bioethicist Peter Singer's article in a recent Harper's is titled Visible Man, Ethics in a World Without Secrets. And Professor Singer, Peter, joins us. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin. It's good to be with you.
And we want to be clear, you wrote your article before these most recent WikiLeaks headlines and the document dump. And in the article, you lay out the sort of the for and again of Julian Assange. He says responsible leaks make governments function better. Critics say it's dangerous. Leaks endanger human rights activists working with diplomats. Does the recent news change the chessboard, though? Because it is now the whistleblower, WikiLeaks, losing control of the whistle.
Yes, that's true. And the worry here is that WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, had been reasonably responsible in trying to remove the names of the sources, the people who told the diplomats the information that was contained in the cables, so that they would not be subject to personal repercussions, maybe conceivably even being killed. But with this dump now, it seems like everything is out there. And what it shows is how hard it is to keep control of this information once it has been leaked.
It's the Pandora's box, as his critics say it is. And it's hard to get things back in that box. But remind us how we got here. You take it all the way back to the 18th century British philosopher Jeremy Bentham, who proposed something called the Panopticon. What was that?
The Panopticon was a proposal to have better supervision of people, whether they were in prison or in schools or in factories, wherever it was. It was originally a design of a building that would enable people to view everybody in it. And Bentham thought that this would enable better supervision of what was going on. For example, you can imagine that the warders would be in a better position to prevent fights between the prisoners because the building was so designed that they were in a central area where they had line of sight to everyone, but nobody would know whether they were being observed or not. Some prisons actually were modeled on Bentham's ideas, but the Panopticon certainly didn't catch on very widely in the 18th or 19th centuries. But now we live in a society that is vastly closer to the Panopticon than Bentham could have ever imagined, because we have closed-circuit television cameras and we have webcams. The police can scan license plates and get information about whether the car's registered to whom, who they are, what their record is, and so on. Credit card companies collect information on us all the time. Google collects information on our searches. Your cell phone carrier can know where you are at any time if you have your cell phone with you. So all of this information is out there now. And one of the interesting things is we don't really seem so bothered about it. Some people are bothered, but most of us just shrug our shoulders and say, well, so what?
Well, because we've actually joined in it. We voluntarily give up tons of information on Facebook when we apply for credit cards, when we buy things online.
You're right. I would say we've made a decision that the convenience of the use of the credit card, the cell phone, the Google search outweighs the small loss of privacy or the risk that anything bad could happen as a result of our privacy. And what that shows is that we don't really think of privacy as such a major value in our lives. I mean, there may be some things that we would still be extremely troubled by, but a lot of it we don't value as much as perhaps people previously thought we would.
And bringing it back to the Panopticon, people might think that it's a great idea if it's to invade someone else's privacy. In other words, people might think, what a wonderful idea for prisons. Prisoners should be monitored all the time by guards. But as you point out, the Panopticon was designed so that somebody could also monitor the guards.
Absolutely, it was. But if that makes us safer. And I mean, after all, guards in prisons have abused prisoners too. So if you have a record of the behavior of the guards, that may help.
Well, and if it's not prison guards, it could be teachers. In other words, you know, anyone in the panopticon could be either made more transparent or spied on, you know, depending on how you look at it. You point out that it might make us better people. If we knew people could see us all the time, well, you give the example, animal rights activists say if slaughterhouses had glass walls, people would be vegetarians. If instead of health inspectors, restaurants had webcams, food preparation might be better. It might shape our morality.
Yes, I really think it could. I think it could make a big difference in some of those ways you mentioned, and also in making us more honest and transparent. One of the most interesting studies that relates to this is that people are more likely to be honest if they have a sense that they're being watched. Even if you put a poster with a pair of eyes on it, not a real person or a real camera, over an honesty box where people are supposed to pay for their cups of coffee in a university cafeteria, you get a higher rate of people paying the right amount for their cup of coffee than if instead of the poster with a pair of eyes, you have a poster with flowers. So if that's true, then the idea that there's a webcam there and there could really be someone watching is probably going to increase the honesty rate even further.
But as you say, and you do it in a very clever way, because you're essentially using the journalism cliche, time will tell, but instead you quote the Chinese communist leader Zhou Enlai. When asked of the French Revolution in 1789, his opinion of it, he said, it's too soon to say. So too soon to say where we really are headed with transparency.
I think it's definitely too soon to say where we're headed with transparency, how this will change diplomacy, and in particular, how it will change governments if there is more transparency and more openness generally. If you have that sort of basic democratic idea that people should control their governments and people can't control their governments if they don't really know what their governments are doing, that would be a reason for saying that you believe that in the long run it's likely to work out for more good than harm.
That's Princeton University Professor of Bioethics Peter Singer. We'll link you to his article in Harper's Visible Man, Ethics in a World Without Secrets. Professor Peter, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Robin. Good to speak to you.